Father, thank you for your word. We're thankful that it teaches, rebukes, corrects, and trains us. We pray, Father, that those purposes would be achieved this morning as we look at these verses together. Amen. Well, as we come to this passage today, they're very familiar words, aren't they? Especially as we just had a series on Scripture a few weeks ago, where these verses featured quite prominently. And if you missed that series, can I encourage you, go back and listen to it, perhaps even listen to it after we've looked at these verses. They were very helpful sermons from earlier in the year. But as we come to them today, these familiar words, we don't want to just gloss over them. The passage is a familiar one. It's memorized for many, especially in our neck of the woods. Sydney Anglican churches are known for having this big emphasis on the Bible. We're the Bible people, the ones with the Bible open in all contexts, where we value whether something was helpful or not based on whether there was good Bible teaching in it. Or, if you want to look at that from the more negative side, we're the boring intellectual people, just focused on reading and learning, which is a turnoff for some, especially those who didn't really like school. Well, have we missed something? Is our focus on the Scripture a detriment? Is there truth to the charge that we're those so concerned with head knowledge that we fail to live out this truth in our hearts and lives? Knowing all the answers to the questions, but our lives looking no different to those around us. Why do we place such a big emphasis on the Bible? Well, in our passage today, Paul tells Timothy about why he is to stick with the Scriptures. So obviously a helpful one for us as well. And as we'll see in the passage, the Scripture is not just information we need to know, like cramming for an exam, but it's actually God's very practical word. But first, to set the scene for this understanding of Scripture, as Paul explained it to Timothy, we first see Paul telling Timothy to stick with it, to continue in what he's learned and convinced of. Verse 14. But as for you, continue in what you've learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Now, as we come to this section, we can see that in it, Paul's calling out this contrast between Timothy and the false teachers he's spoken of earlier. But as for you, unlike the false teachers, who were into kind of novel and fashionable teachings, things were kind of that were the hot topic of the day, Timothy is to continue in what he has learned and become convinced of. He's not to advance into something new, but to continue in what he has learned and been convinced of. So the question is, what has he learned? Paul describes it as what he has been taught by others, no doubt thinking of himself and Timothy's mother and grandmother at the least. And he also calls it the Holy Scriptures that Timothy has known since he was a child. Presumably they're talking about the Jewish Scriptures, what we have in our Bibles as the Old Testament. And so I think what Paul talks about when he's saying that what Timothy has learned is a combination of the Old Testament and the Gospel. He was taught the Jewish Scriptures from childhood, and these are the Scriptures that pointed forward to God's Messiah. A Messiah who's made known to all in the Gospel, the Gospels of Jesus. And the Gospel is what Paul would have taught Timothy. The Gospels that added that final piece to the puzzle about salvation for people that the Old Testament pointed to. Salvation comes through faith in Christ Jesus. This is how a commentary I read put it. Paul, in some places it appears that he, that is Paul, is referring to the Old Testament when talking about the Scriptures. In other places, it appears that he is referring to the Gospel message. Because of the flow of the discussion, it appears that Paul does not talk about the Old Testament in distinction from the gospel message, or the gospel apart from its heritage in the Old Testament. What Timothy has learned is the Old Testament and the gospel. He knows the Old Testament and he now understands it in light of the gospel. And just as we, before we kind of go on, a little aside on the word scripture in this passage. Paul uses this word scripture to, as we've seen, describe the Old Testament, but also to describe the Old Testament and the gospel. And when we use the word scripture, we actually use it to refer to the whole Bible, the Old Testament and the New. And so it's bound to get a bit confusing. And so it's just as an aside, it's worth saying that when Paul uses the term scripture, he doesn't probably doesn't have in mind the books that we have in mind when we talk about the scriptures, the Old Testament and New Testament. But the term that he uses as scripture is in concept the same as what we mean by scripture. Let me explain. I think that when Paul uses this term scripture, he has in mind the Old Testament and the gospel, so a part of what we have in our New Testament. Now, what we call the scriptures, particularly the New Testament bit that Paul, you know, is an addition to what Paul's talking about here, are those things which are recognized as having the authority of God's word. You see, as time went on, from Paul's day to our time, to the early church, more and more things would be added to this category, scripture, that Paul's describing here. More writings were recognized as not only being helpful letters written by Paul or Peter or John or whoever, but they were recognized to be God's authoritative word, written by God. And at a certain point in time, these books that were recognized as God's word were grouped into what we have as our Bibles. And it's worth saying, the books that we have in our Bibles are not there because some ancient committee chose what would go in, what they liked, and so they chose it. No, these ancient committees recognized and agreed together that these books were God's words, not just human words. And so Paul here is talking about the Old Testament and parts of what we have as a New Testament when he speaks about scripture. But we use the term scripture to describe both the New Testament and Old Testament in their entirety. But conceptually, we're both speaking about exactly the same thing. What is recognized as God's authoritative word. So what Paul speaks about when he's talking about scripture in this passage, we can apply to our understanding of scripture as well. Back to Timothy. Paul tells Timothy that he's to stick with this scriptural teaching for two reasons. First, he knows who he has learned it from. Timothy knew the character of those who taught him, his mother, his grandmother, Paul, and probably others. They were trustworthy people, and he could see the fruit of God's word, the fruit of the scripture, in their godly lives. Like someone who promotes a certain healthy lifestyle, you kind of want to ask, what's the impact you see in their life? It's very well if they're telling you to ditch the sugar, but if they're a super grump all the time, you'd probably question whether their teaching was any good. Timothy knows the lives of those who have taught him. Second, he himself has known the scriptures since he was a child. He has seen the way that they have spoken about the world that he lives in, how the scriptures make sense of the world that he's in, how they've challenged and shaped him. He knows that they're worth sticking with because of his own experience with them. Again, like when you do something and you know personally the benefit of it. You know, when you catch up with friends, even though you're tired and not really feeling like it, but you know that it will make you feel better and energized and restored after you do it. So you do it. You know personally the benefit of that time with good friends. In the same way, Timothy has known the goodness of the scriptures his whole life. It's why not only has he been taught the scriptures, but he is convinced about them. he has seen from his own experience the impact of the scripture in himself and others. And this provides him with a reassurance that these words are worth following. How have you seen the truth play out in your lives and the lives of those who've taught you? I'm sure we can all think of people and experiences which point out to us the goodness of following God's scriptures. Stick with the scriptures. Don't get distracted by novelty. But this is not just some intellectual exercise, but actually it has an impact on people's lives. Paul goes on to teach Timothy of the practical nature of scripture. Verse 16. All scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. To help Timothy see why he should stick with scripture, Paul reminds him of two aspects of the nature of scripture. Firstly, God-breathed, and secondly, useful. So firstly, scripture is God-breathed. This is a comment about the origin of scripture. These words are from God, breathed out by him. And so, amongst other things, scripture carries the authority of God. And God speaks scripture out through human authors. The scripture is God's breathed word to us, and so it carries his authority. Second, scripture is useful. Not just a book of information. Rather, the scriptures are concerned with practical use. The scripture is not just about information, but transformation. The scripture is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and for training in righteousness. The scripture is all about bringing life change. It shapes what we think. It teaches us the truth. And it rebukes us when we're wrong, bringing us back in line with the truth. It also shapes how we live. It provides correction to stop us living the wrong way. And it works positively to train us in living the righteous and upright life. As we understand scripture, it will bring practical change in our lives. Scripture is not just information, but it's about transformation. And so two things to apply from this. Do you see scripture as just about learning? Or do you think about it as having a life-changing impact? The charge sometimes leveled at us Bible people is that we are too concerned with head knowledge, puffed up with intellectual knowledge about the Bible, but actually it doesn't flow out into our lives. And sadly, sometimes this can be a valid charge. If we come to the Bible seeking to just add knowledge, then we've missed the point of Scripture. Scripture informs us, but then it also instructs us in how to live and how to think. So as we come to God's Word, we should be praying, Father, let what I read impact how I live. And use the questions as you finish. What is one way that this word impacts how I'm going to live today? Scripture is practical, not just intellectual. Let's approach it as such. Secondly, where are we creating opportunities in our lives to allow Scripture to speak to us in this way? To allow Scripture to do this work in our lives, we must know it. We must really know it. And that's why spending, you know, that time in God's Word, in your devotional times or quiet times, in Bible study groups and growth groups, here at church and all the other facets of life, is so important. Spending time in God's Word so that we can actually really know it allows it to speak into our lives and impact our lives. And so as we read God's word, are we asking the question, how does this truth help me live for Jesus? And where are we creating opportunities where we can bring the words of scripture, not only to speak to ourselves, but to others as well? to be the conduit for Scripture, to teach, to rebuke, to correct, to train each other. Now, obviously, I think in those lists, the ones that we probably struggle with the most are the rebuke and correct ones, aren't they? And so, to think about how we might do this, I think there's a few little stepping stones that are worth thinking through. Not only do we need time with Scripture to best understand it, but we also need time with one another, that we can actually build that trust that invites this kind of intimate speaking into one another's life, whether it be to teach or to train or to correct or rebuke. And then we need to work up the courage to say what Scripture is saying to one another, remembering that we're doing this for each other's good. And as we do so, make sure that we're actually pointing to what the Scriptures say. It's not just about telling each other off, but about pointing each other to Scripture, to allow Scripture to challenge us, to train us, to teach us, and do its work in us. Which also means when we're having these conversations, it seems less like some sort of personal gripe, because it's Scripture that's teaching us. I'm sure, again, as you think back over your life, you can think of a time where somebody who loved you pointed out an inconsistency in your life and what Scripture said. And you can think of the good, though painful at the time, the good that it did for you. So let's invest in one another and be courageous in pointing each other to Scripture so that we can let it do its work in our lives. Scripture is a practical book, a divine book that is useful for everyday life. And that's why we stick with Scripture. And verse 17 is, kind of gives us some of this insight. Verse 17 says this. Scripture is God-breathed and useful, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The word of God is a practical word. It's God's authoritative word, and it is useful. And that is because its aim is to equip people for every good work. God calls his people to live a particular way, a way that pleases him, that follows the example of Christ, to live a way which is filled with these good works. Now, that kind of good works is not the picture of the perfect life. We won't achieve that this side of the new creation. But rather, these are the things that God has prepared for us to do that we might please him. Ephesians 2 says this. Excuse me. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So as we go about life seeking to do these good works, if we're honest, it can be a little tricky to know what those things are. What are the good decisions that we need to make that will help me to live a life that pleases God? But in that wondering, God in his kindness has not just left us to it. He has given us his authoritative and practical word, which helps us to live this life. That's what verse 17 is saying. It equips, that is, it gives us what we need so that we can do these good works that God has set for us to do. But what about the decisions we need to make that don't have some Bible verse that clearly points out? The classic one is, you know, what job should I take? Now, the Scripture doesn't always give us the answer in a verse, but it actually equips us in a far more comprehensive way. The Scripture teaches us to fish, doesn't just give us a fish. The Bible teaches us the principles and the guidelines of a godly life, and it gives us wisdom about how God wants us to live. And so, as we apply these guidelines and principles, we can work out how we can do good works in any and every situation. Again, a commentary sums this up well. Since God created Christians for good works and calls on them to do good works, he has given Scripture to instruct them so that they may know in principle what God expects of them and thus be equipped to do that particular good deed called for in each situation. Imagine you were shopping for a gift for somebody. You know, you could just go to the store and get them what they want. You know, my son really wanted a Godzilla toy. But what if that particular toy isn't there? They've all run out of Godzillas, you know. But if I know, if you knew the person, knew what kind of things they liked, what they didn't like, what they already had, what they were kind of interested in at the time, you'd be equipped, wouldn't you? You'd be better equipped to buy them a good gift. So I know, my son, no Godzillas, it's all right, I'll buy him a King Kong. So he can fight them. It's the same with Scripture. We need to know God's Word better. And as we get better acquainted with Scripture, as it teaches us, rebukes us, etc., it also shows us what it means to live as God's people. What God sees as good, what God sees as bad, how we are to live towards others. It warns us of the pitfalls and the problems that might come up in life. It teaches us, rebukes us, corrects us, trains us. And so it equips us, it gives us that framework, that guideline to live as God wants us to live. The Scripture is God speaking to us with the goal of shaping us into the likeness of Christ. And so, armed with the Scripture, with God's Word, we live in God's world, making decisions that accord with the principles we've gotten from Scripture. We are equipped to do the thing God, do things the way God wants us to do, doing the good works He's prepared for us, as our minds are shaped by the Scripture. But more than that, God is the one who works in us and through us to make this a reality. He's given us His Spirit, who works in our hearts and minds to understand the Scriptures, to make those godly and wise decisions, to conform us to the image of Christ. And God tells us that if we need wisdom, we just ask for it and He will give it to us. And one of the main ways that God gives us this wisdom, informs us of how to do things, is through His Word. God works through His Word to help us live rightly as His people. Scripture is God's Word. It is practical, and it is what God uses to equip us to live as He would have us, doing the good works that He's prepared for us as we're moulded by Scripture into the likeness of Christ. This is why we stick with the Scriptures. Let me pray for us in light of that. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You have spoken to us in Your Word. We thank You that Your Word is powerful and practical. Please help us to work hard at understanding it. And help us not only to see the beauty of Your Word, but its value for all areas of life. Grow us into people of Your Word and shape us by Your Word to be Your people. Amen.